spirit and truth and worship your holy name, God. I pray that everything that we do points to you, God. We want to bring you honor and glory today. We want to praise you from our hearts, God. And Lord, I pray that it is a sweet, sweet smell to you this morning. And God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for that word that Larry is going to bring to us this morning under the power of your Holy Spirit to speak to us, God. Speak mightily through him to us this morning to change us in what you would like us to be, God. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Y'all may be seated for a couple minutes.
The woman whom the offering is named. And she was born Charlotte Diggs Moon on December 12, 1840, in Albemarle County in Virginia. She rebelled against Christianity until she was in college. In December 1858, she dedicated her life to Christ and was baptized at First Baptist Church of Charlottesville, Virginia. She was one of the first women in the South to receive a master's degree. She stayed close to home during the Civil War, but eventually taught school in Kentucky, Georgia, and Virginia. Her sister, Edmonia, was appointed to Tingchao, China in 1872. The following year, she was appointed and joined her sister there. She served 39 years as a missionary, mostly in China's Shantung province. She taught in a girls' school and often made trips into China's interior to share the good news with women and girls. She frequently wrote letters to the United States detailing Chinese culture, missionary life, and the great physical and spiritual needs of the Chinese people. Additionally, she challenged Southern Baptists to go to China or give so that others could go. By 1888, Southern Baptist women had organized with the help of Annie Armstrong and helped collect $3,315 to send workers needed to in China. And that's the equivalent of over $89,000 today. She died aboard a ship in Japanese harbor of Kobe on December 24th, 1912. She was 72 years old. And the reason why she died was because there was a famine in China and she had given all of her food to the Chinese. In 1918, Women's Missionary Union named the annual Christmas offering for international missions after the woman who had urged them to start it. In your bulletins, you have an insert that gives a little bit about the life of Lottie Moon. And also, I want to tell you that so far you have given $545.14 to the Lottie Moon Mission offering. Our goal is $4,000. Not only will we be taking up an offering on Sundays, but also on the Christmas Eve service, we will have a box where you can give your offerings. And today we will also have a noisy offering after the children finish singing their first song. So get your change ready for that. Thank you, and now we'll have a short video to watch.
You know, to us, evangelism and discipleship isn't just like 1 hour a week meeting with them and doing a Bible story or going through a scripture. To us, it's spending life with them. It's living with them, being there with them, and then sharing scripture with them, sharing the truth with them. Come to the city from the villages, they immediately are looking at in the face of the reality that they're invisible in the city. So the women are out there begging on the streets and people are walking by them constantly. They don't see them. They don't even acknowledge them. They don't talk to them. And so I think God's really opened up a door for us to come into their lives and see them. So we see their needs. We don't look at them as some invisible person or some number or some project. We look at them as made in God's image and people that deserve to hear the good news of Jesus Christ.
So we started a project to help us gain access to the Embera people. And this project helps them provide jobs. And it gives us a reason to be among them and spending time with them so that we can share the gospel with them. So there's one lady that we met through our ministry, and she's really a leader among the community. And we were able to start meeting with her and her family and start sharing the Bible stories with her. We would go visit her every week, and we've just been faithfully sharing with her for over 3 years. And finally, about 2 months ago, she decided she wanted to give her life to Jesus, and we were able to baptize her in her community in front of the whole community, and she's able to testify what God has done in her life.
The hope would be one day to be able to see Embera missionaries be sent out to their villages and share the gospel, share the God stories with people so they can have enough information to follow Jesus.
We just want to thank you all for giving to the Lottie Moon offering, because without that, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. We're able to focus on our ministry. We don't have to worry about raising support, and we're able to really just dedicate all of our time to sharing the good news with people who have never heard. We're able to focus on our ministry. We don't have to worry about raising support, and we're able to really just dedicate all of our time to sharing the good news with people who have never heard.
All right, come on up, kids. I didn't see a lot of sleepy this morning, but I don't see a lot of joy. We're just singing Joy to the World this morning, guys. All right, you guys please stand with us. Kids, lead us off with Joy to the World.
And there.
going to do this, what, two more Sundays, one more Sunday? I'm not sure. Two more Sundays? And I look forward to next Sunday because the kids are going to be singing with us the whole service. So I'm really looking forward to that. So we'll continue worship this morning with 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes. Sing like never before, oh my soul.
worship your holy name. I worship your holy name. Yes, I will worship your holy name.
Give God a praise this morning. Amen. Only He is worthy to be worshipped.
There is love that came for us, humbled to a sinner's cross. You broke my shame and sinfulness. You rose again, victorious. Faithfulness none can deny, through the storm and through the that sets me free, Jesus Christ, who lives in me. You are stronger, you are stronger. Sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord. To see and save the lost, you paid it all upon the cross. You are stronger, you are stronger. Sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you.
Your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. Darkness, your loving kindness through the shadows of my soul. Written, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Declare the grave has no claim on. Can you imagine that? Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim.
God, we do come. You are our living hope. You are the only true and tried hope, Lord. And in you, our hope is not a hope-so. It's a no-so. And we claim that in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for loving us and caring for us, providing for us, even that, the greatest gift of all, our salvation. And to that we sing hallelujah. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, that the King of Kings have claimed me as his own. Lord, I can barely consider it, understand it. But Lord, here's what I know. It is true. And in you is my hope. So Lord, help us this morning to grasp onto that hope. Father, grow that hope into us. Make it more sustainable, Lord, that we know it to be true without any shadow of any doubt. So, Lord, this morning we ask that you speak to us through your word. And, Lord, we do that first by asking you to forgive us of our sins, Lord. There would be nothing to stand between your church and you. That, Lord, as we come now, that we would clear our minds, clear our hearts, ask you for forgiveness, that you would speak into us, Lord, and that we would know you more intimately and you would know us more intimately. So, Lord, we just give ourselves over to you, ask you to forgive us. Lord, if I'm going to say anything that's not your right, I ask that you silence my lips. Because, Lord, I do not want to rob any glory from you at all. So, Lord, that it would be all yours all the time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. What a nice-looking crowd you are. I'm trying to give you some encouraging words. Leslie, we have to teach them how to talk to one another. Right? Okay. All right. So, good morning. You are a wonderful looking group. There you go. There you go. Hey, just a couple little housekeeping things that we need you to, or not housekeeping, announcements we need is don't forget that if you can't smell it, Christmas dinner today, directly following service, be there. Lots of food, good food. So please plan to attend that. And also, you need to read this. There's a lot of other announcements. But we need some help today with a Christmas stocking stuffer for a work that are... It's done?
It's done.
Oh, well, forget it. Let's preach. All right. Open your Bibles up to Galatians. I'm glad we got that out there. Thank you. Open up to Galatians chapter 5. You know, I told you a couple weeks ago, this is part... second part of our sermon here. But I told you a couple weeks ago that we were going to take this last final fruit of the Spirit, it's called self-control, and sit on it for a while, right? So this morning we're going back there again, and it's actually a second part of last week's sermon. Because as I've already explained, this final fruit works its way backwards through all the other elements of the fruit of the Spirit. You have love on one end and self-control on the other end of the fruit of the Spirit. They're the bookends. Love is the foundation, and self-control is what enhances and makes all of them work to the best of their ability. So because of that, we want to look at this, and once we get this right, we will be able to get all of the others right. So once again, church, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Read them with me if you will, please. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. So last week we learned how the lack of self-control when it relates to our temper leads us into an unbridled tongue. And we primarily targeted how it relates to communication and generally communication with one another, and more specifically how communication affects the husband and wife relationship. Are you all remembering that? In Proverbs 29, we looked at verse 22 where Solomon told us that an angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. And in Proverbs chapter 21, look at verse 23, and you'll see what this area is talking about. And it says there, whoever keeps, now some versions say guards, whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. There's a words of wisdom right there, right? But boy, it's an incredible verse. Whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. And it's true, our mouth gets us in more trouble than we can ever imagine, right? Listen, Solomon is talking about self-control in the area of our mouths. And, you know, and I know that many of you have heard this before. You know, God gave us two eyes and two ears and two hands and, you know, 2 feet and all that, but he gave us one mouth and he put a guard around it and a seal on it. There's a reason for that, because it gets us into trouble. And remember, James also talks about that. And in fact, if you put your finger there in Proverbs, go with me to James chapter 3, where he talks about the tongue being the littlest part of the body, James chapter 3, verse 5, he tells us there that this, he says, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Right? It makes great boast. Consider, and it says, consider what a great forest is set afire by a small spark. You know, many forest fires that we look at on TV is started by a match. That little tiny flame, right? And that's what he's talking about, our mouth. He says, it's just a little bit of it is going to cause a big problem. Look at verse 6. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire. And it's not the good kind of fire, just so you know. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. Now look at verse 9. This is what you need to get. But no human being, that means you and me, no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now, is this saying that the tongue cannot be tamed? It is absolutely not saying that. It is saying that no human can tame the tongue. So the taming of the tongue has to come spiritually. That's why we're looking at this. So again, last week, we looked at these verses as they pertain to communication, particularly but not solely to a husband and wife. So last week, point one was this, how communication reflects the image of God in us and builds intimacy between us. Into me, you see. Remember that? But that was point number one. Communication reflects the image of God in us and builds intimacy between us. And if you didn't hear last week's message, then I really encourage you to go online and listen, go back and listen to it. Now, I gave you husbands and you wives an assignment last week. What was it? Hey, pull up the notes from last week. Let's just preach it over. I gave you men and women both an assignment last week. What was it? Do you remember what it was? You were to leave out of here last week, and you were to work on this all week long. Men, you were to listen. There you go, Dan. Right? Men, you were to listen. We talked about that how we men don't listen. And when we talk, we really aren't communicating. We're mostly just making noise, remember? It's not a whole lot. About 40% of what we do is noise. And ladies, you were to do what?
Encourage,
yes. And know what? Say it out loud. No nagging. Don't nag me about it. Jeez, I just asked. No. Ladies, was no nagging, right? And in fact, you were to show your husband some admiration, some encouragement, some respect, right? That's exactly right. That's what we were supposed to do. Well, let me ask, how'd y'all do? Let me ask the wives, was your husbands listening to you? Husbands, was your wife encouraging to you? Good Lord, we're in a mess that we may never get out of. Now you know why I'm sitting on this. Now you understand why I'm sitting on this. Remember, our goal in this fruit of the Spirit study is to reflect the image of God. Let's get that out there. Our goal in this study of the fruit of the Spirit is to reflect the image of God and to deepen our intimacy with Him. And when we get this intimacy, this relationship right, these relationships are going to get a whole lot better, right? And one of those ways to exhibit self-control, let's go to point number two, is this from last week, is point number two. Self-control in communication means you think before you speak. There's a novel idea, right? There's a concept that we just never really think about too often. You think before you speak. So self-control in communication means you think before you speak. And you would think, key word think, get that word think stuck in your head, right? But you would think that that would be just a given, but it is not, is it? Because most people all over just blurt out or speak harshly and give opinions oftentimes before they stop and think or even worse, before they know the whole story. You know, there's so many comments and just harsh words that are put out there, and the person who's doing it don't or doesn't know the whole story. And apparently, this isn't a new problem that just developed. This is not a new problem that just developed in the 21st century, because listen to what Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23. Look what he writes there. He says, "The hearts of the wise will make their mouths prudent." The hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent. So do you know what he's saying here? He's saying that the heart of the wise man thinks before he opens his mouth. The heart of a wise man thinks before he ever opens his mouth and says anything. Now that's wisdom right there. That's what you would define as wisdom. Look at the rest of verse 23. It says, "The hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent, and their lips promote instruction." That means there's a person that you listen to. You all have that person that you listen to. And there's a reason why you listen to that person. There's a person that you listen to that when they speak, it's beneficial to listen. You all know anybody like that? That when that one person, you know that when they speak, it's beneficial to listen to them. You know, this reminds me of my old friend, Jack Trickett. Not very many of you in here know Jack Trickett. A few of you in here know Jack Trickett. But let me tell you something. Jack Trickett was very instrumental in my very young Christian mentorship that developed me into the Christian I am today. And not only that, Jack Trickett was very instrumental into growing this church into what it is today. The guy had wisdom. We thought he was nuts. But he had wisdom. He convinced us to build an entire preschool department. We didn't have a preschooler in the building. Look. Did you see this morning? Look, because when he spoke, it was beneficial to listen, right? He was slow to speak. He thought about what he was going to say. He was slow to speak. He put me in my place one day about that. I told him he was talking about something. I said, "Spit it out, Jack." I said, "Just spit it out." He looked and stopped, and he says, "You know, you might do well to think before you speak, young man." And I backed up. I'm like, okay, right? So, but he was slow to speak, but he's full of wisdom. But you know, there are a lot of people who talk 70 miles per hour with gusts up to 120. You also know somebody I'm talking about right now, right? They can talk 70 miles an hour with gusts up to 120. Now, people will stand around and listen to that. They will, but they will not go to that person for advice. So who's the person that you go to for advice? Can you dim these lights just a tad? Who's the person that you go to for advice? Perfect. Well, let me tell you who. I will tell you who you go to. You go to that person who is very reflective and thinks before they speak. Just like I said, like my mentor Jack Trickett. Why? Because you're looking for wisdom. So the question is, who do you go to? Listen, there are a lot of people that fit this description in this building today. Honestly, there is, and I'm proud of that. But one of the people I go to is Steve Schaefer. Mike Jeffries. You're thinking, why don't you go to me? I said, nothing against you. They've proven and tried. They just don't. They will sit back and think about what they're going to say. And so when they speak, I put my listening ears on. Remember, men, we're slow to listen. So you're looking for wisdom. So who do you go to? Well, let me tell you what I do. I go to somebody, like I just said, who I know that thinks about what they're going to say before they say it. Someone who doesn't just off the top of their head just start spouting stuff off. But they think about it. You want to know why people like that think about what they're going to say? Because they want to make sure that what they're telling you is correct and it's biblically correct. Twofold. Not that it's just right, but it's biblically right, right? Just this, they don't just talk off the top of their head, just start spouting stuff off, but they think about it. Not someone who just likes to hear themselves talk. You all know what I'm talking about here. You all know that person that likes to hear themselves talk. And don't look at me, right? So, but that's exactly what Solomon is saying here. He's saying the hearts, look what he says, the hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent and their lips promote instruction. Look at verse 24. Verse 24, gracious words are a honeycomb. Kind words, encouragement words. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Now, husbands, wives, you ought to think about that in your marriage relationship. And listen, you all ought to think about that with anyone you talk to in reality. But isn't it true that we say the most cutting and harsh and mean things to the ones that we love the most? You all ought to be saying, yeah. The ones we say the meanest things to is the ones that we say that we love the most. Well, Solomon says this. He says that your words should be sweet. That they should be sweet to their soul and healing to their bones. Remember, your words can either crush or they can heal. That's something you should write down. Your words can either crush or they can heal. Do you really understand that? Proverbs 13 and verse 3, look what it says. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives. That's pretty serious stuff, right? That those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. Now, you should mark that down as well. Underline that verse, because it is the key to a successful marriage or any relationship for that matter. There's the key right there. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak harshly will come to ruin. So, listen, go home, put it on a post-it note, and stick it on a refrigerator to guard your lips just as a daily reminder. Just a daily thing. Guard my lips, guard my lips, guard my lips. It needs to be a daily reminder for me. Also, Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Look what he says. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. Boy, how silent it would get. Boy, how silent it would get. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who... Isn't it weird, guys, that your thing last week was to listen? And women, yours was to encourage? Do you ever stop to think of that in your marriage? Or everyday communication, for that matter? Did you ever stop to think that the way you talk to the grocery store attendant? Or how about the server who gets your order wrong? You should be using your words to build people up, not tear them down. You should be using words to build up your mate. Your conversation should lift them up. And listen, man, I can never say enough good things about my wife. It's just not possible for me to say enough good things about my wife. I mean, do you see how pretty she is? Smart. She's smart. She fixes my phone whenever it won't work right. She makes sure that But she's just really pretty. She's smart. She had a great personality. In fact, when she smiles, look, what? She's smiling right now. Look at Ronnie. See, Ronnie's smiling. She just lights up the room. Am I doing a good job saying good things about my wife? Amen. Listen, I don't do that just in church. I don't. I express my love to my wife every single day, several times a day. I'm not sure she... What's that? That's why she's always smiling, right? Right? But do you know what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4? He says, he tells me this. He says, my body is not my own. My body belongs to her. And he also says that her body is not her own, it belongs to me. Now just look at her. I'm going to get killed. You all know that, right? I mean, just look at her. I'm doing a pretty good job, aren't I? I know, she's saying stop it. I'm doing a pretty good job of keeping her. Would you agree? What? Colt, church discipline coming your way. It belongs to me. I'm supposed to take care of her. How do you think she's doing here? Look how good she's doing me. But seriously, our words should build up. Our words should encourage. Our words should lift each other up. Now that's what he's saying right here. He's saying you should think. You know, there's a new twist right now, really. And this really, it is. And I'm seeing it in the life of the church, not only in this church, but in the church as a whole universally. I'm seeing this. There is a new twist on an old sin. There's a new twist on an old sin. The old sin is called gossip. All right? The old sin is called gossip. The new twist is called email and blogging and Facebook and texting and Twitter. Right? That's the new twist. And the sad thing is this, is that I'm watching people in the church rip other people, ripping their spouses apart, ripping other people apart, ripping brothers and sisters apart, but ripping their spouses apart publicly on social media sites for everyone to read. Listen to me. This is a form of communication, and it's ruining the family and the marriage and the church. And listen, especially when it comes to this communication, when it comes to this communication, you should stop and think before you speak, before you post on these social media sites. People are brave. Listen, I found out people are really, really brave when they're behind the keyboard. They ain't so brave any other place, but behind that keyboard, buddy, they just let it go. Let me tell you something, Christian brothers and sisters, and I can't say this emphatic enough. I don't know how to relate it strong enough. When you do this, it ruins your testimony. It ruins your testimony. And listen, this has happened in this church as well. Some have posted some ugly stuff about their spouses, putting them down publicly. People have posted against other brothers and sisters in Christ with great harshness. Listen, this should not be so. According to God's word, not mine. I just read you all the verses. This is according to God's word, not mine. This is not my opinion. This is what God is telling us. So if you're doing this or if you have done this, then stop it. Go pay big money for a psychiatrist, whatever you want to do. But the bottom thing is what they're going to do is tell you, stop it. Stop it. Why? Why am I saying that? Stop it because you're in sin. You have no self-control. You're in sin. And the Word of God says you will bring your own life to ruin. You think you're ruining this person's life, but what the Word of God says is you're ruining your own life. You're heaping those hot coals up onto yourself. Why? Because, oh, you might trash them and they might get canceled. They might do that. But listen, there's one who's greater that you better worry about getting canceled by. Our words can be incredibly damaging. And we need to be careful because very rarely can you take them back. Amen? Amen. Have you ever been hurt? Yeah, that hurt. I'd rather you shoot me with a dart gun because that pain will go away. But that emotional hurt, it lasts forever. Listen, let me give you an acrostic, right? This is what you need to do. Now, this is probably the first time you're going to hear this, but let me give you an acrostic. This is what you need to do. You need to think. Write it down. Vertical. Think. Think. Think this. Is it T? Is it truthful? Is it truthful? Is it H? Is it helpful? Is it helpful? Is it I? Is it inspiration? That is it encouraging? Is it inspiration? Is it N? Is it needful? And is it K? Is it kind? I think of this, and here's what I think of. How would I want God to communicate to me when I mess up? How would I want God to communicate to me when I mess up? Then that's how you should communicate the same way, right? Memorize this. Memorize that. I've shared this with you before, so if you didn't get it the first time, get it now. Before you speak, think. Is it truthful? And if it's not truthful, then I don't need to say it. Is it helpful? If it's not helpful to somebody, then why say it at all? Why do it? What value is it? Is it inspirational? If it's not encouraging, again, why say it? If all I'm going to do is just be a Debbie Downer, right? Besides, doesn't the Word of God tell us over and over and over and over again, edify the body. Build up the body. That's what it means. Build up the body. Edify the body. He doesn't say rip the body. He doesn't say rip on each other. He says edify the body. Don't tear it down. Don't divide it. That's the work of Satan, by the way. And so then, is it needful? Is it kind? Let me tell you something. We are to engrave that in our minds and on our minds, congregation. And before we open our mouths and say anything, we're to think. We're to think. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Do you think God intended for you to go through a miserable day where there is a constant fighting and fussing and turmoil and stress and frustration? Do you think that's what God has intended for us and you and me? Well, the answer to that is no. God never intended that for His people. And God never intended that. Listen, He never intended it for His people, but He also never intended it for a marriage. He never intended that. And your marriage doesn't have to be that way. And none of your relationships have to be that way either. Not just your marriage, but any relationship doesn't have to be that way. You know, I've never really had much opinion for Nancy Reagan. I've never really held much of an opinion for Nancy Reagan, one way or the other, because I really didn't know her. But I sure did love her husband. I really liked him. But I do admire Nancy for this one thing. Did you know that she cared for her her husband, our president, until the day he died? Did you know that she did? She personally did that. And because of that, I have a tremendous respect for her for that reason. I think that Americans, when we buried Ronald Reagan, this is about as political you're going to get me, he's long dead, so it's from the pulpit, you know. I think that Americans, when we buried Ronald Reagan, we were saluting her as much as him. To say thank you with dignity and with honor for caring for this great man until God took him home. Let me ask you a stupid question. Did you ever wonder that about her? I mean, Nancy Reagan, truthfully, was off into some pretty weird stuff. But have you ever wondered why she was so faithful to her husband through those years of difficulty when she could have put him somewhere else? She could have put him anywhere she wanted. She could have afforded to do it. The government probably would have even paid for it. I mean, she could have done it, but she didn't. She didn't. She stayed by his side till the day he took his last breath. She stood with him probably at the expense of her own health as well. If you ever dealt with anybody with Alzheimer's and illnesses like that, it's very, very difficult. It can get very, very dangerous. But she stayed at her own health expense. She cared for him personally. Well, years ago, she published a book that is titled, I Love You, Ronnie. That was the title of the book. She titled it, she says, I Love You, Ronnie. And what it was there were little cards that President Reagan had sent her over the years, and this was in the book. And I want to close with this one here. I want you to notice this one's that's dated February 14th, 1977. February 14th, 1977. I want you to listen to this, men. Men, listen to this. Dear St. Valentine, I'm writing to you about a beautiful young lady who has been in this household for 25 years now. I have a request to make of you, but before doing so, I feel that you should know more about her. For one thing, she has two hearts, her own and mine. I'm not complaining. I gave her mine willingly, and I like it right where it is. Her name is Nancy. My request of you is on this day, could you whisper in her ear that someone loves her very much and more each day? And tell her that this someone would run down like a dollar clock with her. So she must stay right where she is. And then tell her, if she wants to know who that someone is, to just turn her head to the left, and I'll always be across the room waiting to see if you told her. If you do this for me, I'll be very happy knowing that she knows that I love her with all my heart. Thank you, signed someone. Let me tell you something, men. When a man talks to a woman like that, no wonder she submits to him, even to death. There's no wonder she sticks by his side for life. Men, women alike, men and women, when was the last time you told your spouse, I love you like that? When was the last time you wrote a love note to your spouse? And I'm not talking about just words. These aren't just words he wrote. I'm not talking about noise. I'm not talking going out and buying a Hallmark card, although that's a great thing. I think you should do that. But this went beyond that, men. I'm talking about words written from our heart to your bride or from bride to your groom. Do you know that God has written a love letter to his bride? You all know that? That God has written a love letter to his bride? That God has written you a love letter? And it's this book right here, that one that you're holding. It's right there. It's one you're holding. And he signed it in his blood. And it says this, I love you. I love you. And he has communicated that to you. He's told you. He's communicated that to you. But look, let me ask you this. When's the last time you told God that you love him? And how is the fruit of the spirit of self-control evident in your life right now? Are you using words to build up or are you using them to tear down? You know, I heard a story years ago about a guy who put encouraging words into his computer password. The news article was entitled, How a Password Changed a Man's Life. That was the title of the article, How a Password Changed One Man's Life. I'd like to retitle it, all right? I want to retitle it to How Encouraging Words Can Change a Life. This guy had just gone through a divorce, which often can get very, very nasty, right? Very, very ugly. This guy had just gone through a divorce. He said he was feeling defeated and angry. And he got to work and was forced to change his password. He had to change his password. They had to do that often. So he just typed this. He typed this in as his password. I forgive her. That's what it was, his password. I forgive her. And he had to put that password in his computer every time he logged in throughout the day. And he said that simple action, that one simple action, changed the way he looked at his ex-wife. God made, look, he said that his mood improved drastically over the first few days. And by the end of the month, by just typing, "I forgive her," over and over every day throughout the month, by the end of the month, he forgave her. You know why he said, you know how he knew he forgave her? He said he had a healing effect. Anybody that's carrying unforgiveness, you ought to know what I'm talking about. It's a burden and it's a pain. He said it had a healing effect on him. And the next time he changed his password, he changed it to "quit smoking forever." And before you know it, he quit smoking. And then he changed to other passwords, "save money for trip, no more drinking," and things like that. And that, but that constant positive reinforcement changed his life. Why am I telling you this? Solomon is echoing the exact same concept. Solomon is echoing that same concept. And look, if you just Google the effect of encouraging words, you will find article after article after article after article about the effect that words of encouragement have. For instance, in the workplace, that encouraging words will cause a person to work harder for that person. In the sports arena, it's proven cheering on the team can motivate a team to push them through the goal line at the end of the game when they're exhausted. We all know the effect that an encouraging word has on our children, right? It creates children that look at life positively. You remember the statistic I told you about men? How many times they're put down before the age of 18? Studies are showing that this positive reinforcement develops good self-esteem in a young person's life, to the point that the point is build them up, don't tear them down. And in our marriage, folks, the one that we are the closest to, right? In our marriage, the one that we're the closest to, do you know what an encouraging word can do in a marriage? You ever think about that? You ever think about this? That God made us in His image to communicate. Therefore, we need to choose our words wisely. I just told you the effect that it had on a guy just by changing a password, using encouraging words on himself. The question is, do you think before you speak? Remember what I told you last week, Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. You either be received or you'll be put away. Do you hear that warning there? You are accountable for every word that comes, for every word that comes out of your mouth. And just make a note of that. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Why do you think I pray the prayer I pray every time before I preach? I don't want to say something that's wrong. I don't want to say something that's not right. To you, I don't want to do that, especially not against God. So when I read that verse, it's scary. And any person that's a teacher, any person, a couple of teachers sitting here, teachers throughout this verse weighs on their mind. And it should weigh the same way in our relationships with one another. Why? Because we are created in the image of God. Remember what James said too, an unbridled or an uncontrolled tongue is a word of evil and can corrupt the whole body. It can corrupt the relationship with your spouse. It can corrupt the relationship with other people. It can corrupt your relationship with God. So the question comes to this. How is your relationship with the Father this morning? Let's start at the top and work our way down. How is your relationship with the Father this morning? Have the words that have come out of your mouth corrupted that relationship with Him? Do you need to restore and renew that relationship? Do you need to reestablish communication with the Father? Because listen to me, until the vertical relationship, until this vertical relationship is right, then all of the other relationships will never be right. And listen, I'm closing right now. I'm going to close right now. You need to think about that relationship. But then I want you to think about this. We are always going to God and asking for this and asking for that. God, will you do this? God, will you do that? God, how about this? God, will you take care of that? God, will you give me this? God, will you do that? We're always asking God for this or that. Constantly asking of Him. Let me ask you this in all seriousness. When was the last time you just knelt before God and told Him how much you love Him? He tells us every day. When we pick this word up, He tells us. He has shown us. When was the last time you just went to the Lord, not asking, but just telling Him of how much and how great your love is for Him? As the music begins, you need to think about that. Do you want to know why I say that? All to tell you what I started out with. When you get this right, this is going to be beautiful. When this is right, this is going to be beautiful. That's how Steve can love me, even when he's a knucklehead. Right? That's how he can love me. He doesn't love me for me. He loves me through Him. And that's what makes it work. Father God, we love You, and we thank You for Your greatness and Your goodness. We thank You that we have relationship with You. Lord, let us never take for granted Your love for us, but Lord, I know that You would love to hear from us sometime and how much we love You. So Lord, let us take this time this morning just to express that to You. Let us express how much we love You, and let us do that without reservation. And Lord, when we do that, let that love, that same love, work its way out to other people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will you all please stand?
He's at work. Just know the Lord's at work. And don't forget just to tell him you love him. So don't forget that right now. Yeah, let's pray for Hoss. How about let's do that? And people just come. Just get around this old boy. Don't make him come up here. Just get around him right there. All right? Hoss is going to have surgery Tuesday. They're going to remove one kidney or both of them?
Just
one kidney. And they're doing that really to get a biopsy to see if he has kidney cancer or not. And if he does have kidney cancer, then he cannot get a transplant. So obviously we're praying that this is not cancer, right? So we're going to ask that the Lord make that surgery go well. They find out all the information that they need and that that information is in his favor. Amen. Brother Steve, I'm going to ask you, would you pray, brother?
Father God, we love you. God, we lift Hoss up to you. We lift his body, soul, and spirit up to you, Lord, for healing. God, we all stand here and we ask, Lord, that you hear our prayers. That each one of us individually are lifting up to you for healing. Lord, we just ask that he would be able to receive a new kidney. Lord, that he could go on to serve you for many, many, many years. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Again, that'll be Tuesday morning, bright and early, that he'll be there for that surgery. So be in your prayers, okay? All right. Don't forget, come downstairs, eat a lot of food, and let me bless it before we get there. How about that, all right? Let us pray once more. Father God, we thank you for the service. We thank you for your willingness to be in our presence. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And again, just to reiterate for Haas, Lord, we're all in prayers for him. We set him there at your throne of grace. But Lord, as we go to partake of these gifts, Lord, you use them to nourishment of our bodies. Why? So that we can go forth and do great works and glorify your holy name. So bless this meal in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Go eat.
I bring an offering of worship to you.